Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Jonathan Franklin, former Green Bay Packer, current Los Angeles Rams executive. Just want to welcome you all back to Pro Sports Extra.
And welcome to another edition of 30-Minute Timeout, presented by ProSportsExtra.com. It is Monday, July 9th, 2018. And on this day in sports history, in 1968, Wilt Chamberlain became the first ever reigning NBA MVP to be traded the next season after being MVP, when he was traded from the Philadelphia 76ers to the Los Angeles Lakers. And also on this day in sports history, in 1988, Nolan Ryan is the seventh to win 100 games on two different teams as the Astros beat the Mets 6-3. I'm Ron at AREOHEN4 on Twitter and Instagram. And as always, joined by my pal, he is Boomer. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, but I think that's the second Nolan Ryan fact we've gotten in the show. So the express train coming through, man.
I think you're right.
Some of this crazy, I'm pretty sure
figured,
you talked about one of his strikeouts, Miles.
Yeah, you're right. I did. But I figured, in the spirit of baseball season right now, and also in the spirit of the crazy NBA free agency and LeBron James moving and like big name players moving, I thought the Wilt Chamberlain fact was pretty cool. The first ever reigning MVP to be traded. That's pretty wild.
That's true. That's something pretty cool, especially back then when free agency wasn't like what it is now. But we got quite a weird show tonight. We got things going all over, from a story from you and stuff going on this weekend with me. But I think it's the best thing to do is kick off something that's been more popular in America than people thought, and that is the World Cup.
Well, real quick, Boom, I just want to also say that the first 30 minutes of the show are live. If you want to catch the overtime of the show, as we call it, after 30 minutes, it usually runs about 10 to 15 minutes long. Go to the podcast version of the show, search PSE Podcast, and click on 30-Minute Timeout. Like you said, Boom, we got a couple different things we're going to talk about. Just a little preview before we do get into the World Cup. We're going to talk World Cup. We're going to talk the NBA, WNBA pay gap, which has been a story that's come up the past couple of days. You got into it a little bit with some people on Twitter. I enjoyed that. After that, we're going to talk a little golf.
That's what I do.
After that, we're going to talk a little golf. After that, we'll talk a little baseball and something that happened to me today, as you already referred to. Let's go, World Cup, Boomer, kick it off.
All right, so the semis are amongst us here tomorrow, and it's going to be a heck of a thing, as me and Ron talked about last week. A dreaded final would be France versus England, and it has a very good chance of happening.
American nightmare.
It is American nightmare. Two countries we do not like, and it looks like it's a possibility to happen. But I, in my pick'em, have only one team left, and it's killing us. But we have Belgium that had a huge upset over Brazil, which was awesome. But Ron, who do you think is going to come out of these groups? Break it down. Who's winning it all?
Well, I don't know. Really? I mean, Belgium beating Brazil really says something. Putting up two goals on them, beating them 2-1. France has been playing strong all tournament. Four goals in the first round. They beat Argentina 4-3. I got to tell you what, though. Croatia seems to be the team of destiny right now. Both games after the group stage, they win by penalties. This game was not handed to them. They earned it in the penalties. But they were up by a goal. Russia had a chance to come back, and I don't know the guy's name, but missed the goal wide left. It wasn't even close.
Completely.
Croatia, complete botch job. It was just, I don't know what happened. The announcers, I remember, said that his plant foot, he planted a little too close to the ball. So when you watch the replay, you could kind of see that his plant foot is pretty close to the ball. So when he's kicking, he's coming on an angle and he's not straightening his leg out as much. So he just shanked the whole kick. And that kind of just blew it for them right there. I thought Croatia did play better all game. I mean, Russia came on and had a run for a while, scored their two goals, and tied the game. They tied the game real late. But I thought Croatia, for the most part, had control. And I was happy they won. I'm going to say this, Boomer. I think it ends for England, and I think it ends for Belgium. And we'll see Croatia and France in the finals.
Yeah, one thing I will agree, Belgium has an electric offense, but France has a great defense, and they have a great striker. So France, I think, I mean, statistically, they're saying Belgium has the upper hand. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So they're saying that Belgium statistically is a better team, but I don't know. I want them to win. I hope they can pull off that offensive, you know, feat they've had in the opening round. So I'm hoping Belgium to the finals, and I really want Croatia, even though I don't like Croatia either. Every time I kind of watch them, I feel like they're doing dirty stuff. I think the players kind of seem like they're assholes. I mean, I can't hear what they're saying, but they seem like they're a dirty team. But it was good to see them beat Russia. Russia, their penalty kickers, man, you knew the pressure was all on them. The whole nation, and then, you know they don't want to let down Putin either, you know, man, that guy's crazy. So I understand the nerves and missing that kick, but you know, you're a professional. You should figure out. You can see it on their faces, though, too. But, yeah, so I'm going with Belgium versus Croatia. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, as far as Croatia being dirty, I think you're crazy. I mean, they're definitely a physical team. I mean, they were pushing and shoving, but so was Russia in that game. It was a good game. It was a rough game. They both looked like they wanted it. The refs let them play for the most part. I enjoyed it, Boomer. That was I mean, I haven't watched majority of the games for this tournament because of the times that they've been on. I'm usually working. The one last weekend, obviously, I was away for the weekend, so I didn't watch the games. But that was my favorite game of the tournament so far. That was just a rough game. It was who wants it more.
Yeah, that's not the only game I talked. Their opening game, I think, they were pretty dirty there too. I don't know. I don't have a problem with like that game necessarily. I don't think it was the best game I've watched at all. But I just kind of, I don't know. Their demeanor just kind of are. They rub me the wrong way. But I think I'd rather have them beat Russia, and I'd rather have them beat England, and so I'll be okay with it. And then Belgium will take them down to the finals.
So who are you calling for the finals?
Belgium versus Croatia.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, but I don't think it's going to happen. I have a feeling France is going to win. I don't think England is good enough I think they're good enough to beat Croatia, but I don't see them in the finals. And with that horn, that is the end of the first quarter. So we'll move on to something that may get a little interesting here. Depending on how this goes, we'll see. But, Boomer, why don't you kick this one off too? Because this kind of started with you.
Yeah, it definitely started with me. So last night I was sitting there just on Twitter, and then I heard something on one of the sports things I was watching about the WNBA wanted equality in pay, and some basketball player said that the WNBA players need to be paid like the professionals. It's ridiculous what the NBA guys are getting paid. And so I was kind of reading through the thread and what people were saying, and I just kept seeing ridiculous tweet after ridiculous tweet. Like, I don't think that people grasp the concept of equal pay. Like, if you're not bringing in the same amount of money, you can't get paid the same as somebody else. That's not equality. That's being compensated more than
equal. It was Damian Lillard, just so you know.
No, it was a girl basketball player that started the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have it right here. Hold on one second.
Yeah. It's like AJ something. I forget her name. But, yeah, like Damian Lillard and like a couple other guys asked about it.
Or AJ Wilson. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I don't know how to say her name. But either way, Damian Lillard and a couple other NBA players, you know, they're not going to sit there and be like, oh, you know, these girls are garbage. They're not going to say that because technically all the NBA owns the WNBA and they use it as a write-off because it doesn't make any money. So those guys aren't going to trash it. That's never going to happen. They're just being politically correct. They, you know, they're lying because they could dog any one of them. And it's just, I think the best AAU teams could beat WNBA teams. People can tell me I'm wrong, but most AAU players could go to the NBA. They play 1 year in college. Those guys are better than, obviously, WNBA players. And I just, so all day I got into this argument, and there's just all these girls that think they're just as good. And one girl's tell me that they're more fundamentally sound and that WNBA is like watching chess when NBA players are playing checkers. I'm just like, are you guys nuts? Like, if this was true, people would watch you. This is not how this works. Like, I get you want to love your sport, but love it in an actual smart way. Don't try and overexpose it to something that's not true, and don't tell me that you deserve to get paid. I sent out a tweet because one of them tweeted at me about how they work hard and they deserve to get paid, and I said this, just because you work hard doesn't mean you get equal pay from somebody else. That's like, then every American manual labor person should be getting paid, doesn't get paid as good as WNBA players, and I guarantee they work harder. Like, don't get
yes,
all this
I am a manual laborer. I am a manual labor worker, so I would appreciate that very much. I work harder than my boss, and he makes more than me. So
exactly, and that's the way that it is. That's the way of the world. You don't just like everybody's wanting to do like this socialism thing where, oh, they make all this money, but if they would take less and we all had equal salaries, we could. No, man, that's not how this works. Stop trying to make us social countries. And it's just, drives me insane. They don't deserve anywhere near the amount of money NBA players do. It should never be a conversation. And if you don't like it, try and be in the NBA. And if you can't make it, then be quiet.
Well, you're right, Boomer. I agree with you, and I agree with some of the reasons that you said also. But I think it goes further than, well, not even further. It's a lot simpler than I believe the way you put it, right? So I looked into it a little bit, right?
Yep.
Diana Taurasi was called the Michael Jordan of the WNBA by, I forgot who. Yeah. No, but that's true. But she is. Diana Taurasi's probably the best player ever. I mean, that's no lie. Oh, DeAndre Ayton said that, who was the first pick
in this
year's
draft. I'm not
going to
sit there and say that it's wrong, but it's always somebody's the Michael Jordan of something. Like, why can't she just be the Diana Taurasi?
Well, because he's the comparison. That's not her fault. But anyway, my point is
I get it.
That people are trying to say that it's gender-based, right, and you're trying to say it's skill-based. And what I'm trying to say is just straight financial. It has nothing to do with gender at all, and I agree with you. The financial does have to do with the skill of it. But my point is DeAndre Ayton called Diana Taurasi the Jordan of the WNBA. Her 2018 salary was $115,000. Well, $115,233, but we'll call it $115,000. Jordan's rookie contract in 1984-85 was $550,000. So there's a huge difference that I want to point that out. I'm not saying there isn't, right? But the NBA revenue for 2016-2017 was $7.368 billion, billion, B-boy, billion, $7.3 billion. Okay, I can't say it enough. So the WNBA, it's a little harder to find what their revenue was, right? So the article that I was looking it up in, I believe, was from Forbes, and it basically broke down their income and then came up with their revenue that way, right? So ESPN pays $25 million with an M, $25 million to the WNBA to broadcast some games. They don't want to broadcast all the games. They only want to broadcast some of them. So they're paying them $25 million. The WNBA averaged 7,716 fans per game in 2017. So call it 7,800, okay? Right. They didn't even average 8,000 fans per game in 2017. The minimum ticket price was $17. Not terrible. That's the average minimum ticket price per game, $17. That's not bad. That's a decent number. to bring in money, right? So all that equals out to, according to this article, the WNBA revenue was about $52.4 million. So the Jordan of the WNBA gets $115,000. The real Jordan as a rookie gets $550,000. But, and I know the years are off, but I'm just making the comparison of, you know, stature, basically, one compared to the other. The NBA last year made $7.3 billion. The WNBA only made approximately $52 million. How can you pay
these people
the same?
They didn't even make. Most everybody lost, technically.
Well, yeah, right, and you're right. I was also reading that I believe about seven teams were in the negative last year.
Yeah.
So the only way that you could close the pay gap and give pay equality or whatever you want to call it, you have to rob the NBA and give the money to the WNBA. That's the only way you could do it.
Well,
and unless Damian Lillard and anyone else who's – right. Well, no, I'm talking about contracts and salaries.
Yeah.
So if Damian Lillard and anyone else who wants to talk about that they deserve more pay, listen – come out of your pocket with it then, because the only way is if one supports the other. That's the only way it's going to work, because the WNBA is not going to support itself. And I'm not saying they're not talented. Are they the best women basketball players in the world? Probably. I haven't heard about any other leagues being better than them.
This is all I'm going to say, too, in the discussion, because it's been reported. But also, since when is making $115,000 not a lot of frickin' money?
Okay. Nowadays, Boomer, so I'm in New York, so it's different for me, right? You got to make a lot more than $100,000 to live comfortably.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, just think, sorry, this is acting weird. There we go.
Okay, did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard. I mean, in certain places, but still, they're not... If you got paid, I mean,
but the work they put in the same amount of work as the guys. I understand the season. It's all, you know, I get it. $100,000 isn't a lot of money. I mean, that's for the WNBA to figure it out, to how they could give these women more money. It's not for anyone else to figure out. It's its own business. It has to support itself. But that horn did mean it was over, so we should shut up now and move on to the third quarter. Something I'm not going to be as involved with, because it's mostly Boomer-centric. So, for the third time today, Boomer, why don't you kick off the third quarter?
All right. So, the third quarter, we're going to be talking about some golf. We're probably actually not going to get to all of it, just because I kind of want to talk about a little tournament that I'm in with a bunch of my friends in a small town in Iowa, Pocahontas, Iowa, host a tournament that we call the Pokey Open. POKYOPEN, you can hashtag it. So what we all do is we drive to the small town in Iowa, and there's actually a lot of people that go and play there. We drive on Friday morning, get there, play 18, go get wasted while there. Then we go play a bunch of games, and then there's a four-man best ball at night. We sign up and we play that, drink some more, and it's just a crazy party. So then Saturday, the real tournament starts. And so there's been a lot of crazy things that have happened over the years at this tournament. One of the guys that we know 2-3 years ago was leading the whole tournament. And after 18 holes, you have a Calcutta. Now, what a Calcutta is you take the top, let's say, 15 people, and they get bid on by all the different people. And so if you win the thing, that Calcutta, you win a bunch of money. So he's in the lead.
What's
after
a bunch
18
of money?
Holes. He's in the lead. I mean, I'm talking about people who are betting thousands of dollars on people. No joke.
Yeah,
and
I
then,
like that.
And then, and then you can win a tournament and stuff too. So he gets a bunch of money bet on him, and he goes out there and lets shit roll down his leg and pisses his pants and shoots a 44 on 9 holes in the Calcutta, which is like 11 over in 9 holes. After leading the whole tournament at like 1 under. So that's just so that guy, he gets made fun of all the time now because of that. Another cool thing that's part of the whole weekend is you get a sports jacket. If you're the drunkest person over the weekend, it's called the Weekend Warrior Jacket.
I could have got one last week in Vegas.
So that's kind of fun. So it kind of, so people don't take it too serious. You want everybody to get drunk. You can win the jacket if you're an idiot. There's one guy that won it back-to-back years. His name's Brian, a.k.a. now he is Boozy Brian because of the jacket.
What color
last
is the jacket?
Last winner is, it is blue, like a navyish blue color sports jacket. You can wear it out and look nice.
Blue jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? So Boozy Brian is the only back-to-back champion. And then last year, Mark Flegel, who is one of the most quiet guys, or Flegel, my bad. He's one of the quietest guys you'll ever meet. But I guess last year he felt like cutting loose, gets all kinds of wasted, and takes home the jacket last year. So we're going to see if anybody can top that. There was one other guy there that we thought might have a chance just because he was he brought home a lady with him to our friend, my friend who hosts the thing at his parents' house. And he brought a chick home in the bed. And, man, everybody was giving him shit. And then there's always a contest between two of the guys that kind of started the whole thing. Mitch and Elliot always do Elliot's been on Live with Boomer with me before. But 1 year, you can see it actually on YouTube. I don't know what you have to search to find it. I'm sure they'll tell me. They did the cinnamon challenge. Whoever lost had to do the cinnamon challenge.
He's cutting out again.
Cinnamon in your mouth. Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right. And so one of them had to do the cinnamon challenge, Elliot, and he thought it would be smart just to shove it all down his throat, and he almost chokes to death and dies. It's pretty damn funny. But I also tweeted
out. I've never done that. I wouldn't do it for that reason.
Yeah.
I'm so nervous to die.
He only did it because he lost the bet. Yeah, right? I forgot what I was going to say now. Darn it.
Yeah,
but anyway,
cinnamon in the YouTube video.
Oh, no, I was going to talk about if you go on my at Live with Boomer account, I tweeted out all the over-unders. You can DM or place a bet on any person that you think will shoot over-under, even money, and with the hashtag PokeOpen, but he has an over-under for the tournament. And I'm just giving everybody a heads up. Maybe it's cheap, maybe it's not. If I play hungover, I'm not very good. My score is at the course where they put it, the over-under at, is actually set for me being hungover, so it works out.
Cool, but we need info, though. Are you going to be hungover? We need to know.
If I'm not hungover, I'll still be drunk. I'll tell you that, bud.
All right, fade Boomer.
Oh, I will be hungover.
Fade Boomer this Sunday.
I will be a mess. I promise you that. There's no denying that. And I will be on Snapchat. At Boot Chat, and maybe with some of the Pro Sports Extra Snapchat, probably doing hole-by-hole analysis of the drunken mess that you guys can all check out. Other than that, what do you think of the Tiger and Phil $10 million match that they're setting up?
I don't know about it. I didn't know what you were talking about when you said that. I figured you'd explain it.
Oh, really? So Tiger and Phil are going to play each other one-on-one. Coming up here pretty soon for $10 million, winner take all.
Really? Where? At one of Tiger's courses?
They haven't broken it all down yet. They've been talking with TV sponsors to get it all lined up, but they say it is going to happen here pretty soon.
That's pretty sick. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But also, what we'll talk about in the overtime, some of the British and more about that. And we'll go into the fourth quarter here to hear some of Ron's stuff, because I can't wait to hear this because I haven't heard it yet.
All right. I need the horn, though, to make it official.
I know. It's not working tonight. There it goes. I have to hit it
like
3 times.
There you go. All right. We're going to talk a little baseball, and then I'll just tell a quick little story of what happened to me this morning, how my week started. Nothing crazy, but it was kind of crazy. All right. First of all, a lot of interest in Manny Machado. The Yankees coming off a doubleheader today, swept the doubleheader, had a pretty great day, and everyone says they need pitching, but they're showing interest in Manny Machado. I don't know what they're doing. I would love Machado. He's great, but I think we should be focused on trading for a pitcher. There's a lot of teams interested in Machado. The price is probably going to be high. The Dodgers and Brewers are probably two of the most aggressive teams looking at him. I could definitely see the Dodgers grabbing him
and definitely going deep into the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy coming down to the All-Star game, see what's, you know, who's on the move. It's going to be pretty wild right now in the standings. The Yankees are not in first place, Boomer. I know you probably enjoy that. We're behind Boston.
They're not,
two and a half games. Boston, no, they are not, sir. The Boston Red Sox are the best team in baseball at this point, which is okay.
Huh.
The Yankees are right behind them. Like I said, yeah, well, it may wind up being one of those two teams are going to wind up playing a one-game wild card to get into the playoffs, which is going to be crazy because they're going to be two of the best teams in baseball. So it's going to be kind of nuts. But I know we are kind of getting a little close on time, right? So I'll tell a quick little story
of how
my day started. Yeah, I know, but I want to get into a little bit. So I went into work early today, and for those that don't know, I do construction. So I went into work early today. I was asked to go in at 6 o'clock, go into a job site that I'm usually not at to go dump the garbage, which is just sheetrock and stuff like that, construction garbage. So I go to the job at 6 o'clock, and I go in the freight elevator, and I go upstairs, and I start bringing down. They're like mini garbage containers, Boomer, like mini dumpsters, right, that are on wheels. So we wheel them down 2x2 in the elevator. I get about 6 of them downstairs, Boomer, and then we go in the elevator. From the 9th floor, me, coworker, tall guy, about 6'6", big Dominican guy named Alex, some other guy I don't know, and the freight elevator worker. So we go down from 9, and the elevator stops between 5 and 6. And, Boomer, I don't know if you've ever been stuck in an elevator before. But it's
not
a very fun thing to do. The elevator stopped where, so like, we were between the 5th and 6th floors, but the bottom half of the elevator was low enough that we could open the door on the 5th floor, right? But I don't know if you've ever seen movies like Final Destination and
where it falls,
crazy
like when you're going
accident
through.
Movies. Yeah. And just movies where like crazy accidents happen. So, the first thought, obviously, is climb out of the elevator, right? That's a bad idea. So, I'm standing in the back of the elevator with these two giant containers in front of me. So, if the elevator drops at all, I'll literally die. Like, no joke, I'll die. If the elevator drops at all, like, just, you know, even when it kicks back into gear, if it drops, like, a decent amount, even to even out, like the 7 feet that we were off from the ground to exit the elevator, those things were big and heavy enough that if they hit me, I was in trouble. So we were there for about 15 minutes, and the guy in the elevator is trying to call out to the woman that works at the front desk, have her call the elevator company. It takes about 5 tries because she's the most incompetent person in the whole building. And she just wouldn't call. She wouldn't tell us what was going on. Finally, they're on their way. The boss comes, and we decide to climb out of the elevator. And I was there for about 25 minutes. And the most scared person to climb out of the elevator was the guy who worked in the goddamn elevator, Boomer. I was shaking as he came out and made us get a ladder for him to climb and drop 5 feet out of the elevator. But, yeah, that was my morning until my week started.
Did anybody have a panic attack?
Yeah, this guy was, like, sweating and shaking. We had to help him down the ladder. He literally turned to us and went, hold me, as he was coming down the ladder. So, yeah, that was funny.
A day in the life of Ron.
But, so, yeah, that's how my week started. We're about to go into overtime. You could listen to the overtime on the podcast version of the show. Search TFB Podcast. There you go. I'm Ron at AREOHEN4. Like I said, listen to the podcast to hear the overtime. He is Boomer at Live with Boomer, Dextra.com. And we will see you in overtime in about 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay, we're in overtime, I think.
No.
And Boomer just got us sued.
That'd be a fun lawsuit.
All right, so yeah, that would be hilarious. They could take everything I got, which is nothing. So it's fine.
Also, something we found out today. It's for anybody who likes to listen to the show, anybody who is a fan. There is going to soon be a 30-minute timeout T-shirt for me and Rob. Go to prosportsextra.com, and pretty soon it should be on the website for your purchase. And let's get those things rolling. Let's build this thing. So you can go check out anytime on prosportsextra and find it on the page. I kind of want to touch some more on that WNBA thing, and we'll touch a little more on the Pokey Open here in a little bit. But I mean, I'm still getting tweets on one side, and then I'm getting likes, you know, on my side. Like, you know what I mean? There's still women still, you know, coming at me about this, but all their answers are the same, or all their things are the same, like just trying to tell me how great they are at basketball.
No one's saying they're not.
I'm not going to say they're great at it, but, I mean, you know.
All right,
if they were
so
great
what
at
women
it,
are better?
You think their range are good. Huh?
What women are better?
Well, I'm not saying
that. Yeah,
they're
the best women basketball players in the world. They're great at basketball.
Okay. Could be the best women. Okay. But, all right, I'm just not going to get into that because I don't want to do the whole sex thing and whatever. So I don't want to piss off too many people because if the stuff starts coming out of my mouth, I'm surely going to offend somebody. So I'll just stay clear of that one and just leave it alone. Fine, if you want to say they're the best women basketball in the world, I'll let that go and let that be. But
I mean, where are
they
better? Hold on. Don't go too far. Where are they better?
I don't need to just watch. Nobody's watching women. Period. I don't care if they're good or bad or not.
I didn't. I agree with you. It's an inferior product to the NBA. I agree with that. But
yeah,
that's all that matters because that's what they're comparing themselves to.
But
they are still great basketball players. They're the best women basketball players in the world.
I mean, that's like, I'm not, once again, I'm going to say stuff that I'm going to, that's not good. So I'm not going to go there. I just went completely politically incorrect, so I'm just not going to go there. And go.
All right. Go ahead. Take it in the direction you want to go.
I don't, you know what, if I keep talking about it, I don't know how I can take it into a good direction at all. Like, what light do you want to shine on maybe the WNBA or that you feel, like you're saying, you know, they're the best women basketball players, and then that's fine and that's whatever. So are you, like, kind of, like, wishy-washy on the whole thing, or you fully agree that they just should be happy with what they're getting paid? Because the NBA is technically bailing them out to make them even have a league. Otherwise, they could just be not NBA, you know, WNBA players at all.
Right, well, that was the point I made before, is that the reason why they're not getting paid the same amount is because they don't bring in the same amount of money. I mean, like you said, the NBA is covering their asses a lot financially. So I don't have a problem with what they're getting paid. I also didn't really look into what the contracts are and how much money they're putting into advertisement and how much money they're bringing in and how much – like, I didn't go that far into it. So could they get paid – more money? Yeah, possibly, but you know whose problem that is and who needs to figure that out? The WNBA. But that's as far, but they can't get paid the same amount as the NBA players. They don't even make any, like I said, it was $54 million versus $7.3 billion. I mean, there's no comparison.
No, I agree, and I knew that from the beginning. I didn't even have to. You know, look at, I knew that the WNBA does not make money, and a lot of the NBA teams like it because they write it off. I mean, obviously you can only write off so much, but it helps them with their lives
right. In
games. And
but
so,
should the best player be getting paid $100,000? No, she probably shouldn't. She should probably be making more than that.
If the league's making $54 million, she could probably get more than $100,000 if they break it down the right way. But obviously, they're not paying their players the right way. So the problem isn't the NBA. The problem isn't fans. The problem isn't anybody. The problem is the WNBA, and they need to figure their own shit out and fix whatever they need to fix so that these women could make more money. I mean, really, really, like, that's it.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm like I said, most teams are losing money, so I think paying her $100,000 is fair because obviously cutting into the whole they average 7,000 fans a game. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying.
Let's say that.
Yeah, I know.
Let's say the average is like $24
a
ticket. Like that is a crap. Anyways, I just don't get that argument at all. I get the argument for equality in, like, corporation business with there's a woman CEO compared to a men CEO. I get that people want equality.
Yeah, fine. If they're, right. If they're doing the same job,
yeah,
then sure, the pay should be the same.
Exactly.
But if you're not
this
doing the same job, I don't want to
topic.
Hear the same thing. If you're If we're talking about, you know, like, sales and your performance levels aren't the same, it has nothing to do with who or what you are. It has everything to do with how you do your job. If you're in the same position and the same and everything else is equal, then yes, it should be equal. But if the man is working for a company, for example, that's making $100,000, and a woman's working for a company that makes $50,000, no, if they're both CEOs, they should not be getting paid the same amount of money. And if it's the other way around, they still shouldn't be getting paid the same amount of money. That's the simplest way to break it down. Anyone who wants to argue with me, I don't really want to hear it. So don't hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at @AREOHEN4. Don't do that. Don't do it.
So have you seen that AAU fight between the referee and the players?
Yeah, I did.
I wanted to hear some of your thoughts on that. I wanted to touch on that here in the overtime period. I forgot to kind of tell you that I was going to bring it up, but I kind of want to know what you thought.
I saw the video, but I don't know the story behind it.
I mean, the video is the story, pretty much.
Yeah, but what started
the
fight?
Have you seen the full version or just when the guy's getting jumped?
I don't know. I saw it from the referee's blowing the whistle. The referee's on the ground, and the guy starts pushing him while he's on the ground. The referee gets up, starts blowing the whistle, and then they start getting held back from each other, and then eventually they fight.
All right, yeah, that's not the full. So the full, okay. I guess the story behind it is this team that is playing is always pretty mouthy. And one of the players was saying something to one of the refs after a foul was called, and the ref teched him up. And then after he teched him up, the camera kind of goes away for a second, but then flies back. So the kid, you can see the kid going towards the ref. So he must have went at the ref and either shoved him or tried throwing fists. And right when he does it, the ref, who's a grown man, squares up on the kid like he's going to knock him out. And when he squares up to throw fists at this AAU basketball kid, who's, you know, I don't know, 15 to 17 years old, his coach comes off the bench, clotheslines the ref, and then all hell ensues there. And then they all get up because more refs fly in. And then later is when he gets jumped and his ref jersey is off and they're all beating the crap out of him. Then he gets up and fights.
Right.
So pretty much, I think that it is 60-40. I think 40% is to blame on the ref and 60% is to blame on the kids. I think
really?
The ref should have never squared up. Yeah. I think the ref should. The ref is in his fault. He should have never squared up on a kid.
Right.
You know,
so
that's
so
not,
how is he not
smart
the 60%?
Because this kid has a ego problem or a problem with authority that he's going to try and punch a ref in the middle of the game because he's getting teched up. And then for every player then to decide that it's okay to jump an individual, like I get like he squared up and then, you know, their coach took him down. That should have been the end of it. Like every adult in there should have stopped everything. Like how are people not?
Oh, no,
and
the
then,
game should have
no,
ended. It should have been over. Everybody should have been forced to leave after that. But,
yeah, like, the kids
but boom,
just ran
this guy,
in and
this guy takes
him.
At least 80% of the blame.
Oh, I think it's mostly
on the
kid.
You know what? In that situation, you're a grown man. The kid's going to square up on you. You got to let him hit you, especially in front of people. Especially in front of people. What are you going to do? You're going to square up on the kid, you're automatically wrong. That's it. You're wrong. It's over.
It's over. It doesn't matter what the kid was looking to do. It doesn't matter. He's a minor. He's a child. It's over. You're wrong. You know what I mean? I mean, God forbid he would have hit him. God forbid he hit the kid. Then he really would have had a problem. Then they would have waited to jump him.
I mean, they did jump him. It didn't matter. Like, but I mean,
because he kept going. He's a grown man.
Every single person there, between coaches, refs, the adults watching,
but he has the power to take care of it.
Stopping it.
He has the power to throw.
Obviously
listen,
not.
The kid is mouthing off. Don't tech him up. Throw him out. Throw him out of the game. What's he going to do? He's going to leave. He's probably going to yell. Probably going to yell for a little bit.
Well,
his coach might even yell. His parents might even yell. But guess what? They're going to leave.
No, see, that's part of the problem is this AAU basketball, there's nobody to hold accountability. Like, if this was in high school, it would be one thing because, you know, principals and people, they would make sure the kid walked out. But there's nobody for that kid to answer to when he got teched up and stuff. Like, there's nobody, like, regulating
that.
Yeah,
but did he just get teched up or did he get ejected?
At first, he got checked up,
and then obviously after they were going to fight, it was over.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like,
right.
There was no control in the whole thing. Like, his parents are filming this. Like, nobody's trying to stop any of it, which is crazy to me.
How are we on time?
We got about 3 minutes. So I just want to pitch so if anybody who doesn't have Twitter and is listening to the show or doesn't want to go and look at Live with Boomer to see some of the over-unders, I figured I'd throw some of them out here real quick. So like I told you guys, my over-under is set at 80, which is for Boomer being hungover because the first day on Friday last year, I shot one over, which was like a 72. And then the next day, I shot in the 80s. So this is held accountable to hungover drunk Boomer golf. So mine's set at 80.
So what's your best score?
My best score ever? Or my best score?
The 70.
Last year I shot a 72, and then on Saturday I shot like an 83.
Okay.
That's how bad I can transition my golf game as being hungover / drunk.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So go ahead.
So this year I'm set at 80. The guy I told you that was leading the whole tournament and then pissing down his leg in the Calcutta is over under set at 75. Mitch, the guy whose family hosts all of us, his over under is set at 73. The highest over under amongst everybody is Boozy Brian. Brian is over under is set at 92. And then coming right behind him for the second highest over-under of the tournament, if you want to go check it out, is Dean Mosier at 87. I will try and, while we're goofing around on Friday, so you can see their whole golf game before you make your predictions for Saturday, and then you can tweet hashtag PokeOpen and get your bets in and see what you think.
Also, real quick, go to my Twitter and my Instagram. I put up polls. If you listen to the show, just vote in the poll. Say that you listened. That's all we really want to know. We're trying to get some numbers, see what's going on with the show. I think we're done, correct?
That is correct. We have probably 30 seconds before we're kicked off.
All right, you ready? You want to see how fast I can talk? Go to prosportsextra.com, read all the articles, see all the podcasts, search for the podcast, PSE Podcast. PSE is in Pro Sports Extra. Click 30-minute timeout. I'm Ron at AREOHEN 4, and he is
at Live with Boomer or at TCP Baby because I am Triple Crown Boomer. Been to 2, both Triple Crowns, and both
and
check out the website.
Let's go, Yankees.
And we'll see you in the future.